Warning! This podcast exceeds the Surgeon General's recommended limit of awesome! This is Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Joss, and welcome to a special episode of Nutty Bites. Today, we are going to be talking about One Punch Man, and with me today, I have, as usual...
Hi, I hate Mike. I mean, no, hi, I'm Tech.
And I've got two special guests with me. I have... who was that? Is that a Mike with us?
Hi, Tech hates me because I'm a Lucksack.
And we have a regular guest, or a frequent guest rather, recurring guest star, Jason Banks from the Talking Nerdy to Me podcast. Hi, Jason.
What's going on? You know, I was 2 seconds away from doing a One Punch Man intro, which would just degrade or would begin and be nothing but me screaming One Punch like the Jam Project theme song and its greatness.
That would have been great. Why didn't you do that? You're terrible. You are not committed to the podcast.
One Punch!
There we go.
Was that 80s band rock sound that they produced with Jam Project?
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that, you could have also gone for the completely in flavor. Shane's here. Hi, Shane. Of course he's here. You know, we could have totally gone for the style of One Punch Man intro, which would have just been us completely bored doing a normal intro. And if that didn't work, we could have done consecutive normal intros and just intro the show that way.
Exactly. So before we get into the awesomeness that is One Punch, we are going to thank the people that help us bring you 2 episodes a month. That's right. 2 episodes. This is the second episode for what month is this? April? Yeah, April. So we want to thank the first person who's always in the chat, the first person on the Patreon. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Shane.
Thank you, Shane.
Thanks, Shane.
We want to thank Jax because he is always there, has our back, does some awesome quality control for us. We want to thank Patrick. We want to thank the missing Jen. We want to thank Harold. We want to thank Ian. We want to thank Beth, Kinsey, Susanna, Frank, Melissa the Bathtub Mermaid. We want to thank Lynette. We want to thank Susan. We want to thank Ken and Daddy Warbucks Jason.
Thank you, Daddy.
Oh, and this guy that we hate, but we do want to thank him, Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
And we want to thank... We're welcome. Thank you. And we want to thank Dangy. And we want to thank Rich. And we want to thank who's over at Vimy right now, Aurora Lee. Thank you. Although I think she was probably on her way back at this point.
I want to be at Vimy.
Yeah. Got to check out her photos of Vimy. That's going to be awesome.
Mm.
So thank you for joining us, everyone. And we're going to be talking about the anime One Punch Man and a little bit about the manga.
One Punch!
Who wants to give the listeners like a brief synopsis? I'm going to give you like a minute to tell us what is One Punch Man.
One Punch Man is set in a dystopic future. It's not quite Tokyo. It's a conglomeration of cities that are only known as City A, B, C, D, etc., where this horrible future is beset by giant monsters of different types. There is an organization of superheroes that defend the city, and they have a very strict ranking system of how they choose who fights what monster, etc. And there's our boy Saitama, who... is a hero, but he's bored because he can defeat any opponent he's ever faced with one punch. So there's no challenge in anything that he does. And to him, beating up a monster is like getting his groceries because it sometimes happens on his way to or from the grocery store. It is a complete deconstruction of the fighting anime genre. If you're a fan of Dragon Ball or the Street Fighter video games or anything like that, you'll probably like this anime. It happens to be incredibly hilarious, and along the way, they end up deconstructing and making fun of a bunch of other genres, like the Magical Girls, and I'm just waiting to see a big Voltron-style combiner mech in one of the future series so we can make fun of them, too.
Of course. And Jason, can you tell us a little bit more about the manga? Because you're actually reading the manga.
Yeah, see, the manga, honestly, this is one of the best adaptations from manga to anime, period. Because it goes really along with the manga. Although, because we don't have a season 2 right now, we're missing out on cool things like meeting Supersonic's mom, as I like to call her, or her sister, I think it was. But she's the girl with the green hair, psychic powers, and all that good jazz.
Yeah, her.
Terrible tornado.
Yeah, her sister shows up, and it's pretty awesome.
I think I love Supersonic because it's the first time you ever see a magical girl depicted as the way a teenage girl would behave.
Yeah, if you gave a teenage girl world-destroying powers, she wouldn't be nice and bubbly and sweet and, you know, Sailor Moon about it. She'd be like mean and bossy and a bunch of other words I can't use
and
because you PG-13'd this podcast on me, you
PG. It's always been PG.
You glorious angel love of my life. Yeah,
you know, beautiful, luminous, all of those.
Yeah, yeah, all those wonderful, totally not what I mean to say, things.
But I love the way that she's done because it's so realistic. She's sullen and she wants the attention on her, and her mood will shift, and she does things because she wants to do them, not because you want her to do them. And I love it.
Well, yeah. Also, now one I will give, the anime does have a has one up on the manga, is that the guy who draws it, one, he's not a super great artist, so he has some really, it's not bad. It's just the fact that the studio who is doing the anime, they have such superbly great artists. The animation is actually one up from the manga.
Mm. And one of the great things is that one himself, not a great artist, great for writing. He, One Punch Man, started out as a web comic that he was doing. And let me see if I can find his name. Basically, if I remember right, the mangaka that does, or the manga artist that does a bunch of other series, notably Eye Shield 21, I think it is.
So mm-hmm. good.
At Eye Shield 21, he saw it, and Yusuke Murata, he saw it and went, holy crap, I need to get in on this. And he started doing the art for the official releases of One Punch Man.
So it was originally a webcomic that was then adapted to a manga that is now adapted to an anime.
Yep.
Awesome.
And you can still go up, and you can actually still go up and read the webcomic. It was free. Like,
cool.
It's pretty dope.
So there's also a neat gag that they do with the art in this show. Is that where your intro was going there, Nettie?
That's where I was going.
All right, go ahead.
As the artist, I was going to talk about the art, and the really neat thing that I love about the art is when Saitama is just hanging out and just himself, he is nondescript. I mean, two dots for eyes, a little thing for a nose, a little
drawn
line
like
for
a six-year-old's doodle.
Yeah, just very,
very
nondescript.
Simply.
But when he is about to fight and energetic and impassioned, there is more and more detail, and he's hyper realistically drawn.
The lower his eyebrows go,
yeah,
the bigger that punch is going to be.
And you can tell that he means business by the way he's being drawn. And then there are some times when you're in the middle of a fight that it'll just switch to like hand-done sketches.
Huh? Yeah. No, normally it's just him like popping out of that fight bubble and saying, wow, this really isn't hard at all.
Yeah.
And then whack.
And
I really hope that I can finish this up before the store closes, because I really need to get that to that sale today. It's deal day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, no, they've ruined my favorite grocery store.
At which point he then levels the monster with a punch that carves a perfectly circular hole through the mountain range.
Yeah.
No, what I love is when he fights the kelp monster and we see him in the show with the bag of kelp.
Where did you get this? You sure got a lot of it. Was it on sale? Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, and then like the next episode, they're almost out of kelp. So let's explain another thing about this show is the monsters. Every time a monster shows up, you get their entire backstory in like 30 seconds. Suddenly, you find out why.
I used to be a salary man, but then a spider crawled in my ear and bit me, and then I became Spider Monster Man.
Yeah. What was the one from the first episode? I am the Earth's immune system. I am born of the pollution that mankind has wrought, and I am here to cure the virus that is humanity. What are you? It's like, I'm a hero for fun. My name's Saitama. It's like, that's the most boring intro I've ever heard. Whack! Punches him, kills him. End of the episode.
And you get like more and more build up, And you expect, because of other animes, you expect it. It has this trope that there's going to be an epic battle that will ensue. And then it generally just ends with one punch. It's over.
Well, we're expecting, you know, growing up watching things like Sailor Moon and Power Rangers, we're expecting transformation sequences. And in the name of the moon, I will punish you. And what do we get? We get a dude that just goes up and punches him in the head and the fight's over.
But we do get that in other parts of the show where everyone else that isn't at Saitama's power level goes through and does these things. Like, say, Pretty Pretty Prisoner going up against the Sea King.
Jason, can you tell us about Pretty Pretty Prisoner, please?
What?
Can you tell us about Pretty Pretty Prisoner?
Wait,
and why
before you do that, I
favorites?
Just need to add in from LJ McLean, monologue drudgery. Oh, the humanity.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tell us about Puri Puri Prisoner.
Puri Puri Prisoner is amazing because he is a magic girl. He's a magical girl. I won't say magical school girl because you never see him in like a school girl outfit, but he does get his very own magical girl transformation, which is just him stripping butt naked, yeah,
right,
getting little ethereal butterfly wings.
So Puri Puri Prisoner is a massive, jacked, square-jawed, stubbled
prison
dude who happens to be incredibly gay and is only fighting monsters because they keep destroying all the beautiful men. And he has these magical girl transformation sequences, which is just him ripping off his clothes and fighting naked.
And apparently...
Yeah, and most of the time, it's a prison uniform that he rips off,
yeah,
also.
Yeah, he's in jail because he killed people for hurting his boyfriend.
Yeah, well, and apparently part of the reason he's in prison is he's been stalking some of the other heroes. And by stalking, I mean like running after them and about to assault them. Not so hot.
And it's great because he practices all his attacks with Puri Puri. And like at one point, they're running from the crashing ship. And he's like, Puri Puri dash. And they're like, shut up. Don't say it. Just run.
And for some reason, all of his special attacks require him to get completely nude. Sometimes he gets these black wings, but generally it's just him being very, very nude.
That's the super transformation.
Yes.
Right.
Which,
and
I don't know how it makes it more powerful because he gets more naked, I guess.
Very creative use of shadow in his nude transformation sequences, by the way.
Yes. This is not an X-rated show, but there's lots of nudity.
There was the one, I think it was the first or second episode where they fought the giant crab monster.
And he's in a pair of Y fronts.
Is brutal, and it's not, dude. And then the crab monster is the first episode because it tells Saitama's backstory, and he rips this thing out of its shell and literally
by its eye,
by its eyeball. So it rips out all its organs,
extrudes him through the eye socket of his carapace.
Yeah.
But the whole time that guy talks, every line that crab monster says, he starts with coo 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 and then says something. And I just kept thinking of Dr. Rock. So I need your coo 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 help, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And he became a crab monster because he ate too much crab.
Yeah. He ate too much crab and then turned into a crab monster.
Yeah. You are what you eat, I guess. So you've got all of these great things. So what are some of the other amazing heroes that like heroes you want to talk about?
Mike, is there one you've got as a favorite?
We already touched on Terrible Tornado, the older sister of, what's her face? Fubuki, is it?
Supersonic?
The green girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, here we go. Fubuki is her name in Japanese, and her title, quote-unquote, is Blizzard from Hell. The Terrible Tornado is the older sister of this other main character.
She's in the manga.
She's a 12-year-old, but she's 28.
Oh, nice.
and is really pissed off that everyone doesn't give her any credit or anything like that. She gets really bored and annoyed constantly. Saitama constantly thinks that she is actually 12, so it's like, who the hell is this sassy child?
So, like Jun from Food Wars.
I was like, are you even old enough to be here? I'm 33!
So another one that I really want to talk a little bit about is Moomin Rider.
Ah, you stole it from me.
Oh, well, you, I yes. gave you the opportunity before. Yeah. You pass it off to Mike. Yeah.
So Moomin Rider.
Moomin Rider. So go ahead. Go ahead, Tech.
Moomin Rider is a dude, a regular, everyday, normal dude on a bike. He's got a funny helmet and funny goggles, and all of his attacks are bicycle-based, including my personal favorite, Justice Crash, where he throws the bike at you. He has no superpowers. He's not really that fast. He's just really, really, really devoted to being a superhero and doing what's right. And, you know, kind of that inner superhero we all want to be, but he's got a bike. And am I mistaken, guys, in thinking that this is like a play on Kamen Rider?
Oh yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
Okay. He has the same belt and armor generally.
Okay. He's just not a giant robot beetle, and he's not on a dirt bike. He is just a dude on a bicycle.
So I was unfamiliar with Kamen Rider and all of the other Rider series. Oh, there's a bunch of them.
But Kamen Rider Skull is still the most posh and fabulous one of them all.
So what was the other one? What was the one with the horses?
Although that was a North American animated series called Saber Rider.
Yeah. Saber
Rider was fantastic. I love that show, Saber Rider.
So Google Saber Rider and Google Kamen Rider to see the joke for Moomin Rider. But even without that, I loved him. And I love how he has such desire to be a hero that even when he can't help, he dedicates himself to helping evacuate people and getting people to safety. Or he'll throw himself into the fray knowing he's going to lose just to buy some time. And I really dig him.
He is one of the most true heroes there is in the show.
Yeah, because honestly, like, even if you look at Saitama, right? Like, Saitama only does it because he wanted to. He had personal stakes about it all. And so he doesn't do it out of he wants to do, you know, be right and go out of the pursuit of justice and all that good stuff. He really wanted to do it because he wanted to be a hero. Now he's a hero, and now he's like, ah, crap.
Might as well do this. I'm the only one that can.
So how did Saitama become the hero that he is?
what a great gag.
Most rigorous and dangerous of training schedules.
Yep. It's 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, and he ran 10 kilometers a day. Every day, no matter what.
That's not special. That's regular strength training.
It's not even that hard.
He did not turn the AC on during summer for mental training.
Mm.
That's right.
But this was so grueling that he went bald.
Every day, no matter what, even if you start throwing up blood and your hair falls out, you gotta keep on doing it.
Yeah. So he is bald, and it's like the one thing he's sensitive about. You can call him as many names as you want, but talk about him being bald and suddenly he's sensitive. And one of the things is when we see his origin story, we see that he has been fired from another job and he just doesn't have what it takes to be a regular office guy, and he doesn't understand the point, and becoming a hero is basically just giving him something to do with his life. And then he develops this awesome punch and he's bored. Because he doesn't have a challenge. Because everything's over after just one punch.
The weird thing I noticed about his punch, knowing a little bit about Japanese martial arts that I do, a little bit. I'm not an expert. I will never claim to be. His punch is not Japanese. His punch is very North American. Because he's throwing it entirely from the shoulder and his elbow drifts up. Whereas a Japanese punch will be thrown from the hip and the elbow stays very, very tight to the body. So he's throwing a very grandiose, dramatic style punch, not what would be a very efficient punch for power. But you know what? It just looks really cool.
Yeah.
Which actually is becomes a plot point in the manga later on, because he sees all of these other superheroes that are based in martial arts stuff, like Silver Fang, aka Bang.
I love Bang.
He's the third ranked superhero in all the land, and he's an expert martial artist. And Saitama literally goes, hey, that's kind of neat the way you wave your hands around a bit before you punch. Is that hard?
Is that hard?
He basically goes, yeah, but you don't need to worry about that. Don't worry. But in the manga, Saitama enters himself into a martial arts tournament under another person's name because it's for amateurs only, no pros allowed, or no heroes allowed. So he takes on someone else's identity, which basically involves him getting a really crappy wig and wearing it.
Nice. So,
and yeah, it's great.
So Saitama is part of this hero organization. He ends up joining it because Genos, this cyborg who has decided to become his student, which Saitama is very confused at. He's like, what am I supposed to teach you? I don't know what I'm doing.
Because this cyborg, they're trying to stop a monster. This cyborg like levels half the city. He is just a walking gun array of some of the most beautiful mechanical animation I've seen short of Ghost in the Shell. The dude is just walking weapons, and then he can't kill this bad guy, and Saitama goes up and like levels it with one punch, and just, wow, you're so much more powerful than me. I need to be your student.
Yeah. And it's really neat, because even as the rest of the world is like, yeah, this guy, he's not very good, we don't like him, yada, 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 we're much more impressive, Genos is like, no, that's my master. I'm all good. I'm going to keep following him.
Well, remember, when they go do their hero tests, Saitama gets like one of the lowest scores. Like,
because he bombed the written exam.
he crushes the physical exam.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He gets the only perfect score on the physical exam, and he gets the
lowest possible score on the written, because he bombed the written.
Yeah, or pretty low. Yeah, he bombs the written. And so they join this hero organization because they're not getting credit for their saving. You know, for instance, they saved the city from this horrible monster, and Moomin Rider got the credit because he showed up at the end. And so they join this heroes organization, and then they rank them. And so Saitama ends up at the bottom, and Genos is in the elite.
So I know for a while there, Nutty, the ranking system confused you.
It confused me.
But it was just one of these things that it follows the standard nomenclature that I've seen in Japanese video games since the day of Nintendo, that things are ranked, you know, EDCBAS, with S class, super class, or special class being ranked above A.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever your ranking is, so you're a C class number 3... would be ranked lower than, you know, any, because then you have to go 3-2-1, then up into the bottom of B class, then up into A, then up into S. And it was funny watching you noodle scratch on that one as you...
I was like, wait, how is C below S? That comes much later in the alphabet. Yeah.
It's kind of like how in cards, ace is over king.
Oh.
Because a lot of the time, ace goes ace, 2-3.
Yeah.
Depending on the game.
Some games, ace trumps king.
Right.
Yeah, depends on the game. So it was very strange. So
confusingly, in blackjack, it's both.
And crib too.
Schrodinger's card.
Schrodinger's card.
So we've got, not crib, sorry, I was thinking 31. In 31, it's both. Yes. So anyway, so you've got this whole like ranking system, and half of it is your saves and what you actually do, and the other half is your popularity. So while Saitama has all of the physical requirements, he is lacking all of the social requirements, and nobody likes him, but everybody loves Genos,
the super hunky basically a walking firearm cyborg.
Looks like a boy band. Yeah.
One of the coolest things that this plays on is when Saitama saves the city from, well, basically the planet from being destroyed from a meteor. He literally one punches the meteor, and the smaller ones destroy the city and the surrounding area. And it's Silver Fang, who sees what happens and straight up says, "You're the strongest person I've ever seen." And he's like, and no one knows it. Like,
yep.
And from that point on, Silver Fang is like, yo, I can't mess with that dude. Like, and he's tries to like train a little bit and get better, but he just knows that there's no catching up to Saitama.
No, but it's neat because Saitama does learn some from Silver Fang, and the structure that Silver Fang has helps him, because Silver Fang is this old guy who has his own dojo and has been training his own students. So he has the discipline and the regimen that Saitama has been lacking. And so Saitama can learn how to be a master, how to be a sensei, how to be a teacher from Silver Fang. And it's pretty neat. And the season finale, you know, minor spoilers, but this is not a show that, you know, you really have to worry too much about that with. I mean, it's all about just watching everything on your screen. It's not so much about suspense or mystery. In the end, the running up to the season finale, all of the S-class heroes are called in for a godlike issue. And Bang's like, no, you got to come with us. And every step of the way, people are like, what is he doing here? And Bang's like, no, he should be here. He should be here.
I got this, guys. Don't worry about him. He's cool.
He's not even paying attention to us. He's playing video games underneath the table. Don't worry. He should be here.
Exactly. So it's all just so much fun. So the really funny thing is, and we haven't finished yet, so Jason, you keep your spoilers to yourself, is we're watching this opposite watching Iron Fist. And One Punch Man and Iron Fist are pretty similar in concept if you think about it.
Yeah, but I'll say this. I enjoy one a lot more than I enjoy the other.
This is very true.
The only way that, and wow, we're going to have to do an episode where we rip apart Iron Fist. It's not as bad as the reviews make it seem.
Yeah.
It is definitely the
worst.
Huh?
Yeah. I'm with Jason here. I got around halfway through the first episode and went, nope.
So we're at episode 8. And it's not as bad as the reviews make it seem. It's definitely the worst of all of the Netflix shows.
But it's not the worst superhero show.
Oh, no.
There are so many worse things.
But the problems I have with it are tiny problems. It's death by mosquito bites with this show, but it is there's lots of annoying things, but watching this and One Punch Man back to back has been really fun.
Really funny. Yeah, it's to compare the two. And I mean, Danny Rand does not kill you with one punch. He just harnesses his chi into his fist. But
same.
Yeah, we'll get into chi another time. But there's so many other things that are I don't know. It's just a complete tonal shift when you've got something so basic that's similar and then you go from one to the other. And we were doing that. We were going back and forth. And then we were just like, no, let's just finish up One Punch Man because it was a lot more fun. But I like the idea. Now, his basic move is one punch. And we have had the chance to see him use combo moves. So his combo move is
consecutive normal punches.
It's the same thing, just over and over
again. This is such a great Dragon Ball rip where, you know, you have to announce your finishing move as you do it. You know, the old Street Fighter thing, right? Where you have to yell the name of the move as you do it. But that they're all, you know, like Giga Slayer, Mega Smash, you know, Atomic Hammer Bomb. And his is normal punch. Yeah. Whack. And he, but his normal punch.
I'm gonna punch you without really holding back much. I'm not going to put much effort in, but I'll try to punch you. Damn it, he's dead.
What I love is that even then he's like, oh, I'm going to punch you, poke, and he punches you, you explode, or the seaweed monster explodes, and then the building behind the seaweed monster explodes in a perfect concentric circle. The camera pans out to an overhead shot of the city, and you can see a cone of destruction ripping the buildings in half.
Yeah.
All the way, kilometers away from his fist, and then in the next episode, all the destruction is still there.
That's one of the things I love. There is continuity in this anime that you never see in any other anime. When something gets destroyed, it stays destroyed.
That's a running thing in the show because he gets in trouble for it, you know, with the meteor thing.
Oh, yeah.
They also talk about it when they talk about, like, when the people who run the hero thing, they talk about, you know, the destruction of City A and B and so forth. And, like, they, for a long time, no one even knows Saitama exists. Like, before they go to the hero exam, they're like, who was this hero that saved him? Because we have all these other heroes and they got their butts whipped. So yep. Who was it that saved these things?
And then someone shows up and everything gets fixed, but he's not registered. Like, who is this guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Or accounts of monsters surging and attacking, and by the time the other heroes show up, it's already done. And it's like, oh, thank you so much, Tank Top Warrior. You saved us all. Like, yes, I did.
Tank Top Tiger.
That's, yep.
Well, there's a family of Tank Top Warriors.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What were you going to say, Jason?
Well, it's funny. In the manga, that whole him, people getting credit for what he does comes up because he ends up going, there's this one hero who's like trying to be a real bad dude, you know, and he's intimidating people because he's such a great hero and he's actually a fraud. And and when Saitama approaches this dude, he literally starts begging for his life and runs away.
That's awesome.
It's really great. But he's like trying to plot like how to keep his hero rank status. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Like, it's a really good arc because he's like the exact opposite of Saitama.
Yeah. So what is the other, the super combo, the killer combo?
Oh, what was it called again? It was the super serious yet completely normal punch or something like that.
Super series of serious punches.
The super series of serious punches. Yes.
Yes. And that was how he defeated the god status monster. Those are his punch. Those are his special moves. The destruction in the city stays consistent. As a matter of fact, the city that he lives in, they stop coming in to help or clean up because they've just written it off, which is hysterical. He's living in one of the few buildings still standing.
That,
hmm?
What, that was Zed City or something?
Yes.
Like that?
Or City Z, or what it says in the anime and the Americans and rest of English-speaking world, except for England and Canada.
Well, we just got it right. No, there was that wonderful joke on the last season of Top Gear where they were Matt LeBlanc is talking to, you know, superstar British rapper Tiny Tempa, and they're having an argument in the car over whether it's Z or Z, and then it's like, well, it's Z. You don't call him JZ, do you?
Thank you. So it's not a zebra, it's a zebra. Anyway, so...
It is a zebra. You spell zebra with a Z.
And I do sometimes say Lay Zed Boy.
Lay Zed Boy? Oh, God.
No. So what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So City Z is, at one point just basically considered unlivable, and people are surprised that people still live there. And he's still living there with Genos and just being completely average and normal. Jason, I want to know, what are some of the big differences story-wise between the manga and the anime?
Well, honestly, the biggest things are a lot of the side things. Like Mike talked about the karate tournament and stuff like that. Those aren't in it. And I think they did that to streamline the story. And at some point you're like, well, you know, I would love to see this, but we all know how it's going to end, right? Like, he's going to win. He's One Punch Man. He defeats his enemies in one punch. And so you have to think, right, like, you know, that what would be better, right? To fill the show with all these side gags that are just the same joke, which is he defeats things in one punch, or you streamline it and cut it down so that you're not getting the same joke over and over again and it never loses its effectiveness. Because that's one thing. The gag should get old at some point, but it doesn't because they space it out well enough. It's the exact opposite problem of what I had with the new Ghostbusters movie. I felt that that had way too many jokes, and they were just back to back to back, and they gave none of the jokes time to breathe. So if you had One Punch Man going through all these different things where he's defeating things with one punch, it would get super old. But because they space it out well enough, you don't get that same burdening, you know, the albatross of all these jokes. Like, oh, here he goes. He's about to one punch another guy.
The way I've been thinking about it is that there's almost two shows in one, where there's the power level where everyone else is at, where they go through and show like, oh, these people are super powerful and they're having trouble, and Genos has full on Worf syndrome from TNG, where he often gets used to show how powerful the monster is by getting his
taco
handed to him in fights, when a big bad monster comes and just eradicates him. Sometimes it happens when he's trying to protect other people, like innocent children and the like, but by and large, Genos can be used as a yardstick of, this guy is really powerful and we have to watch out. And then, generally speaking, by the end of things, Saitama walks in and goes like, oh, these guys had a lot of trouble with you. Let's see if I can actually get boop. Aww.
I compare this show to, I was just thinking about this. It reminds me a lot of Doctor Who. Now, in Doctor Who, the whole time you're watching the show thinking, how is the Doctor going to defeat this incredible opponent? And then it's, you know, the whole show, you know, and then at the very end of it, it's, oh, well, I used this magic MacGuffin that I forgot that I had until just now. And look, it worked. Hooray, I'm the Doctor. Meanwhile, in One Punch Man, it's the same but different. It's, I know he's going to punch him. I know he's going to explode this crab monster with one punch. It's called One Punch Man. It's like that book, John Dies at the End. Guess what happens in that book? Guess what happens in One Punch Man? But now it's, what is it going to take to get him to that one punch? What level of destruction am I going to witness to get that one punch in? And it, the joke never gets, you know, as Jason was talking about, the joke never gets old, because they always keep the delivery of the punch fresh. It's not like early episodes of North American Power Rangers, where when the Zord delivers the final sword stroke to the bad monster, it's the same, you know, 12 seconds of film rehashed every episode. This isn't the same cells of animation. It's new, it's freshly drawn, it's contextual, and it's hilarious every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
So what are our favorite gags from the anime?
Oh.
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
So there's a hero that's extremely high ranked named King, where he is touted as one of the strongest warriors. He is 7th ranked out of all of S-Class, so he's the 7th strongest ranked hero. He actually has absolutely zero powers, and he is a giant otaku nerd that accidentally waltzed in, potentially after Saitama had beaten up some monsters, and got all the credit for it, which caused his rankings to skyrocket, and he is very, very nervous about being found out because he has literal imposter syndrome.
Well, it's not imposter syndrome. He is the imposter.
He is the imposter. But it causes for great times where he hangs out with Saitama all the time, and like Saitama bums video games off of him, and then says like, oh, sorry, I broke the controller. I pressed too hard on the button. Like, how can you even do that? That happens.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was great.
I think my favorite gag, it was the group of characters that's shown up a couple of times, which are the these like Morlock type creatures, like the underground creatures who come bursting up through the ground to attack City Zed. And with the underground king, and they're just your comically inept villains. You know what? They're putties. They're the foot soldiers, the foot clan ninjas. They're the things you beat up to get to the big bad. Except in this time, they are the big bad. So they're just comically disposed of. And that and the crab monster in his underpants. You know, either or are great.
I think I really love how at the end of each episode, the villain of that episode tells you about what's going to happen next time in a completely like unreliable way.
Yeah. Wow, he completely kicked my butt this episode. I had no idea. I certainly didn't see that coming. Watch what happens next episode, entitled this.
Jason?
Yeah. I want to say, I think any gag that involves Saitama shopping, like, I gotta go back to that kelp. It's so funny because this monster lays waste to like four heroes, two of which are like A rank, and they just get their faces beat in and they nearly get killed because this show is actually kind of dark because it does talk about death because these guys are literally beaten nearly to death. Saitama shows up and he's like, oh man, we were out of seaweed or whatever. And he beats this thing and kills it. And then he goes home and cooks it. Because in the end credits, after the end credits, when they do like the still frame picture, he's cooking the kelp.
Yep.
He's making ramen.
And the next episode, you can see he's almost out of the kelp because he's cooked so much of it.
Oh, what's that stuff called? I got blocks of it downstairs. The
Is it kombu? Something with a K.
Oh.
We got a bunch of it downstairs.
Kombu.
Kombu. That's kombu. It. For when you're making,
Ramen.
Ramen broth. Yep. Yeah. So, funny enough, Shane was watching us and
hi,
said,
Shane.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about, but I'll listen anyway because you guys are cool, which is awesome. And I told him, you got to watch One Punch Man. It's really great. You'll really like it. So, Shane comes back. I'm back. Just watched episode one.
And how is it, Shane?
He says it's fantastic. The crab monster in his underwear was so great. And I said, you gonna watch the rest? Oh, yes, I will watch some more. So I think that's pretty live reactions right there. And I wanna add on that, again, the continuity, I think, is a great gag that anytime there is continuity left over from previous episodes, it feels like Easter eggs. It's actually really great. And anytime they kind of point their finger at another anime, you know, any like Goku reference or Power Ranger reference or Sailor Squad reference or anything like that, it's always big fun for me. So is there anything else anybody wants to talk about before we wrap this up?
Oh, can we go back and talk about the theme song? Because
yes,
Jam Project's theme song, my goodness, is it awesome.
So like, as a casual anime fan, am I supposed to know who they are? Do they do theme songs for a bunch of other shows or
Jam Project it's a compilation of a bunch of different artists from Japan underneath this one guy who's kind of like he's like an older kind of musician from like the 80s and 90s.
So it's a Japanese supergroup.
Yeah, he basically made the supergroup, and they literally are the supergroup. They literally are. They've made so many theme songs. So many. It is ridiculous. And they're amazing. I love Jam Project.
I love this theme song. It's got that nice, like, metal feel, and it's all screamy and violent, and I absolutely love it, and it's a great theme song. And then you get the closing credits, and you get the generic pop song sung by a woman that seems to completely have nothing to do with the anime at all, that seems to show up in every anime.
Yeah, I after a couple episodes of this end theme, I had to show Nutty the end credits to the original Neon Genesis Evangelion, which was a Japanese woman singing Frank Sinatra's Fly Me to the Moon, but yeah, done very, very softly. You know, fly me to the moon. And has
except
enough,
in all in Japanese.
Right. No, it's in English.
Oh, it's in English. You're right.
So it's probably Fry Me to the Moon. But
hey,
it's, well, you know, it's a thing.
That is wrong.
I know.
You should feel bad.
I do feel bad. But the I don't.
Apologize to Dr. Zoidberg. Continue. Go.
It's a Murloc.
Yeah, there's that train of thought get completely derailed like an Amtrak train.
Okay, so Nun says the end theme is boring like Saitama's life.
Oh.
Ooh.
Hey, his life isn't boring. I think going shopping with Saitama would be very interesting.
Yeah, for you, not for Saitama.
He probably makes a pretty boss ramen.
Yeah, I bet he does. But
I love how the fact that he did all that working out, and he lost his hair. He did it every day until he lost his hair.
Hey, I've been working out for 17 years. I lost all my hair. No, that's called the army. Sorry, that's something different.
There is one other thing that I just thought of that could probably be mentioned. Mm. So,
did the podcast just start again?
Yeah, no, that's at the beginning of the podcast, whoever opened that.
Not me. So, The person behind One Punch Man, one, also has this other series that he's worked on called Mob Psycho 100.
Oh, we got to talk about that show. We got to do another episode. We got to do. We just got to stop this one right now.
No.
And go watch Mob. Go watch Mob Psycho, and then come back and talk about that.
Okay, so Mob Psycho 100.
It looks like Saitama with a bowl cut from what I'm seeing from this one still frame.
It is a young kid that is basically potentially the world's strongest psychic, but since he has driven down all of his emotions so much, he's very bland and asks basically a shilster for help for training in his psychic powers. So, and this guy has no powers whatsoever, knows Mob has them, and basically points Mob at problems with ghosts and spirits and the like, and they go away, and he gets the money for it.
So this,
because
to
it's,
me...
Oh, this is so powerful. I'll let you take this for training, though.
So I'm going to predict... I'm going to watch this, but I am going to predict what this show is to me. This to me seems like, what if One Punch Man was done by Yonan Vasquez, the guy that did Johnny the Homicidal Maniac and Invader Zim?
Yep,
because it really does. It really does sound like Invader Zim meets One Punch Man.
Unfortunately, I think we're talking to people who are a little too young for that.
Oh no, I remember reading the comics of Invader
Zim. I'm listening to Doom Song now.
All right, there we go.
I remember the original Yonan Vasquez comics.
Doomy.
Yes.
With, oh, what was it?
Johnny
called?
The Homicidal Maniac.
And Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. Yes. Yep.
Have you seen his music video?
No.
We will have to link that later.
Oh, I gotta watch that.
Yes, we will send you a link.
All right, so that's awesome. Definitely worth looking up. I looked up the art for the original web comic, by the way.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderfully horrible. So I'm so glad that it got a better treatment. Is there anything else?
You know what? I love this show. The news dropped at the end of the month of March that season 2 is in development now.
Yep.
It can't come fast enough. I can't wait to watch it. I recommend to everybody that has ever played a fighting game, watched a fighting anime, or been slightly interested in anime in any way that you need to watch this. This is one of those gold stars. This is just a hilarious rip on everything else that you would have watched.
Yeah.
If for nothing else, if you were a fan of Sailor Moon, just to see Puri Puri Prisoner do his Sailor Moon transformation sequence is completely worth it.
And if you're having trouble getting through Iron Fist, just switch over to One Punch Man.
It's also a really good deconstruction of the Superman mythos, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because I care about Saitama so much more than I care about Clark Kent.
Yeah, like, who gives a crap about Clark Kent, right? Like,
this is, sorry, Clark. You mentioned this the other night there, Jen. I think it's an important point that we need to visit before we end.
That was Serial Killer, not Jason.
No, it was Jason. Okay.
He wasn't on that episode.
No, this is the video conversation that we had the other night.
Oh, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, right, well, hold on, you're pretty.
I am pretty, but I thought you were confusing your friends.
No, well, I do that too, but that's what this stuff is for. Explain to us and to all the wireless listeners out there that Saitama is what Clark Kent should be or would be.
Yeah, it's if basically Clark Kent, one of the reasons why a lot of people do not like Clark Kent is because we all know that unless you got a green rock, he's going to win.
Yeah.
But Clark Kent plays it like, oh, woe is me. I'm Superman. Oh, I'm terrible. You know, I got to be so careful to not hurt anybody. Saitama knows he's super strong, right? Like Saitama, he trained to be this. And so when he, you know, goes about it, he's now in a position where he's got everything he wants. What do you do then, right? Like you've got your superherodom, you've got your strength, you've got your power. What do you do then? In DC, Clark Kent just lives a normal life and gets married and all this other stuff. And it never is addressed. What do you do now? Right. Like, and so that's why Saitama is so depressed. And I feel like Superman would be a much better character if they addressed the fact that he could have everything he wanted, literally everything he wanted, but because he's a god, no one cares.
No, there's no stakes, you know?
Yeah, Superman, yeah, exactly. Superman is perfect because he's supposed to be perfect. You know, he's Kal-El, he's from Krypton, he's got all this other things, all these other things going for him, but it's he doesn't have any flaws. He's never tempted to be the bad guy. He's never tempted to sleep in.
Well, unless there's red kryptonite.
Right. But he's, you know, never tempted to sleep in. He's never tempted to not save the bank or cause some collateral damage or just not care about flipping a car. It's, you know,
or play video games in his Fortress of Solitude for a couple decades.
Right. You know, he's mild mannered. He's the nice guy.
Is just chilling out playing some PS4.
Well, that's what all those big screens are in the Justice League headquarters, right? That's just a giant LAN party.
Cyborg's job is to keep the consoles running.
Whose job did you say that is?
That's why it's so cold there. It's like, yeah, I don't have to worry about overclocking, overheating right now. It's just cold in here.
Oh, boy.
Cyborg, the IT guy.
Oh, right, Cyborg, yeah. So
No, it's their secretary, Hash, their sysop. That is what Diana Prince does. She just goes around and makes sure that...
White costume Wonder Woman shall not be spoken of. Okay, moving on. So... Shane says Terrorhawks did the same thing for the Japanese version. They took out the English titles and added a Japanese pop song. See, that's what we're talking about. There's always a Japanese pop song in an anime. And Nun Nun says, yeah, it's basically Invader Zim crossed with One Punch Man. Speaking about Mob Psycho 100. Mob Psycho 100. So that's awesome. Definitely something we're going to have to look into. Yeah, this is a great show. I love it.
Along the same lines for Mob Psycho 100, for while we're on topic of opening music, ending music.
Mm-hmm.
Opening music for Mob, best music I have heard in a very long time. It even trumps One Punch Man.
Okay, we're going to listen and then judge you.
Okay. I will be judged and found.
I'm sorry, it does not trump One Punch Man because that, you guys need to Google the live performance of Jam Project doing the One Punch Man theme song in concert. Oh my god.
Mm.
That is such an otaku amazing. It's just total otaku. Oh my god, you gotta find the live version of this theme song. Oh my god, it's so good.
Sorry. But you have to find the 98 version, not the 95 one, because they were high at that one, but the 98 one is so much better.
oh, that
hurt. I need to find it on file because I got a record player.
It's a turntable, actually.
The fidelity of vinyl is so much higher than your compressed MP3s. You have no idea. You'll never understand.
So I think we all really dig this show. Just a quick round of consensus. Is this something that you would show somebody who is new to anime?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
I think it's a pretty good crossover. I think it's a little more anime than, say, Ruby, but it, you know, in more difficult to get into. But I would definitely give this to somebody who's new to anime, who's willing to try it.
Ruby is definitely beautiful and one of my favorites, but not something I would show someone first. It's a little complicated, and there's a lot of meta jokes that they do that would fall flat on the face.
So what is your introductory anime then? Or should we do a whole episode on that?
That is an entirely different episode. Between the two, I think One Punch Man would be better served.
Yeah.
But if I was going to introduce someone entirely to the genre of anime, it would depend on a whole bunch of factors. If it's a girl, Sailor, if it's a girly girl or somebody who tends more towards that type of thing, I would go towards Sailor Moon. If somebody was more into like the macho fighty things and they played a lot of Street Fighter, I'd probably introduce them to Dragon Ball first.
See, and I would avoid Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball because they're like so very anime. But we'll get into that. We'll do another episode about how to get into anime. So thank you everyone for being here with me. Jason, would you like to plug your stuff right now?
Yes. Hi, guys. I'm a part of the Talk Nerdy Podcast, and you can always find us on our website at TalkNerdyToMePodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/NerdyToMe. And, of course, you can find us on the Twitter at NerdyToMePodcast. I've got a couple things, a really new thing coming out. Well, I've been doing them for a while now, but I've got one coming out. It's going to be talking about rating in MMOs, and then there's going to be one talking about... why a guy can't play Horizon Zero Dawn because he can't play a video game as a woman. It made me see it.
Wow, that sounds interesting.
Have you recorded that already?
not yet.
Can I record that with you?
I was sure I was going to do it, and I was like, no, it'll just divulge into me screaming like.
I want to scream with you. This is one of those things that I've been meaning to rail on for a while. So
it shall be called male fragility in video gaming. Gotcha, Mike. Is there anything that you want to plug?
Masculinity so fragile.
You want to plug fragile masculinity? Okay. All right. Good plug. Cool story, bro.
I am on a podcast called The Redacted Files, where it's an actual play podcast where the hosts have a whole bunch of different tabletop games that they play through. It's generally fun. It can be found at theredactedfiles.com, and I play in the Only War and Dark Heresy.
Cool.
Where I play basically a tech priest. I fix things.
Imagine that.
Yep, the engineer doing things where he's a engineer in the game. It's crazy.
So do you guys have a promo yet?
They don't have a promo that I can slot in. I can ask them for a promo if you want, though.
Well, you do realize as a patron you get to send me promos and they get first shot being played on Nutty Bites. This is something I've been rolling out to the patrons. Apparently nobody knows. Patrons, if you want a promo on this show, send it to me. I will play it. I will always play my patrons' promos first. And if you don't have a project, but there's a project you'd like to promote, send that to me. If you have a project, but you don't know how to create a promo, send me a script. That's what Aurora Lee's going to do. She's going to send me a script for her photography project. Say again?
They should all promote me because I'm Big Daddy Warbucks.
I have been promoting the crap out of you.
We love
your
you, Daddy.
Your promo has been played so many times ever since enacting this policy. Just saying. I've been doing it for a couple of months now, and I think I've played your promo 3 times. So, yeah.
The new one we did is probably the best one we did. It's the best one we did.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
I can just imagine the episodes of Nutty Bites coming up soon. It's going to be things like, okay, and before we get into the episode, let's cut to a promo for the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast. Promo. And we're back. But before we're back, let's go to a promo for the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast.
No. It'll still only be one promo per episode. So you don't have to worry about me stopping to play a promo 5 times in the middle of a podcast like some podcasts. And you definitely don't have to worry about me stopping to tell you that I'm going to play a promo and then not actually playing a promo, or saying that I'm going to give you an ad and then playing something from the same network, which is not actually an ad because they didn't get enough ads that week. You don't have to worry about that here.
Or those horrible 80s cartoons that we used to watch where they would have commercials that looked like the TV show but weren't really the TV show.
Yeah, we won't have that.
It was just another commercial for chocolate frosted sugar bombs or something.
Now with lumquats. So Tech, is there anything that you would like to promote?
So what you're trying to say is the promos that you help record, we have to write it in such a way that the promo starts with you saying, and we're back.
No.
It'll be like the Archer answering machine.
Oh, boy.
Leave it.
Tech, what do you want to promote?
You can, of course, find everything I do over at nimlast.org. And if you would like to follow my adventures in learning Aikido the hard way, you can, of course, find that at upsidedownandflying.tumblr.com.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And you'll get all the links to how to send in feedback at the end of the show. Thanks. Bye.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlast Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlast.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-Nutty42.
She is a lot too cold.
note to self, if an irradiated man who happens to be like the third copy that you've run into ever tells you, don't go in there, don't go in there.
The Redacted Files is an actual play podcast.
Ooh, and a natural 20.
Is anyone just a little discomforted by the fact that she gets so excited with a natural 20?
With tales of horror and suspense.
And he wishes you a good afternoon.
I go home to the nightmares I will inevitably have. Told one bad die roll at a time.
That's your attack?
Yes.
Stop laughing at us.
Visit us at theredactedfiles.com, where you can give us a listen or join us in telling the next story.
You can investigate or you can go down the stairs.
I think we'll go. Do you guys think we'll go? I think we'll go.
Hero, you took out my fortune in your face.